Thank you guys for the opportunity. Thank you for extending, because when God has given you a vision, you are pregnant with it, and it will eventually come to pass. Now, I want to share some things with you. First off, be praying, as Pastor said, for the young man. Most people, if you don't know, and some of you do, so I'll help. My church that I pastor is a church of recovery. It really is. Everyone in my church is a recovering addict, a drug addict, alcoholic, you name the addictions, we had it. And this young man, he's the one that challenged me to lose weight. He told me, I said, I'll tell you what, brother. I said, if you'll stop drinking, I'll just drink. I won't drink soft drinks. Today, I'm at day 186 of just drinking nothing, no soft drinks at all. And he talked to me a couple of days ago, and he needs our prayers. I left here last night, and long story short, I got in bed about 5 o'clock this morning. Because when somebody needs us, we need to be there. The church is not the building, guys. The church is us. You know, one of the things we share at the church all the time, and I tell my people, is find the hurt and heal it. Find the need and fill it. You know, I was heard him say about Mother Teresa, I love reading some of her quotes, and I was thinking about this. Our 6th annual of the gatherings coming up at our church, which is a free Thanksgiving meal for the less fortunate. It's been 6 years we've been doing it. Last year we fed over 2,000 people. And this year, I was coming up the road, and I was like, well, I hadn't even thought about the gathering. You know, I was like, I know it's coming up. Well, the lady that's taking care of it got it all together in one day. She texted me. She said, Pastor, I've got all the stuff for the meals. She said, I've got this, I got that. And I said, you did get enough for 4,000, didn't you? She said, 4,000? I said, yeah. If you have too much, you can always bless somebody else. As a matter of fact, giving God the glory, Thanksgiving morning, we're going down to the downtown Statesville, and we're going to give free Thanksgiving meals and bags to the homeless that don't come to the gathering. Okay. Mother Teresa said, if you can't feed 1,000, just feed one. Yeah. So think about that tonight. You might say, can we do it in Avery County? Why not? Why not? It can start with one person. Me and my wife started the gathering. We would go downtown Winston, and we would pass out free Thanksgiving meals in a brown bag. And what was that Thanksgiving meal at that time, brother? Turkey sandwich. The trimmings was potato chips, but we gave them something. But tonight I want to share something with you, and I'm going to tell you how serious I am about my assignment here. I told Pastor I would drive up the mountain every night if this thing goes past tonight. I told him, I'll do it. I love the fact that people are hungry for God. Amen. You know, if you're hungry for God, God can do awesome things for you. God can take your brokenness, take your mess, and give you a message. I've done told you that. But I want to share with you, and I told them, I said, guys, I'm here. I told Elder, I said, I am here till you guys tell me my assignment is over. I'm not leaving one day sooner than you look at me and say, brother, God said. And I want to share with you tonight something very important. And that is the power of your tongue. The power of your tongue. If you think about this tonight, think about how I want you to do this. We got to read tonight. Turn to the book of James, chapter number 3. I want to read to you the scripture. We're going to read 9 verses tonight. James, chapter number 3. And as you're turning, I want to read a couple quotes about your tongue. And I'm going to have to get the readers on. But let's read. I want to share it with you. Before you speak, do the T-H-I-N-K. The T stands for, is it true? How many of you know people like to gossip? Some people get Romans 1:16 wrong. They think the Bible says, for I am not ashamed of the gossip. But it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Think about what I'm saying. The H is this, is what you're going to say, is it helpful? Now think about that. The words you speak, are they helpful? When you gossip, is it really productive? Huh? You can't hang around negative people and live a positive life. You got to be around. Think about this. The I stands for, is what you're getting ready to say inspiring? The N stands for, is it necessary? Have you ever just been around people that just love to hear themselves talk? Whew, think about it. I guess they just think that they need to hear themselves. The Bible says a wise man's a few words. That is what the Bible said, isn't it? Think about it. Is the words you say necessary? And another one, is the words you speak, are they kind? Now listen to this. We have two ears and one tongue, so we should listen more and talk less. Oh, come on now. Watch your thoughts. Catch this. Watch your thoughts because they become words. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If a person cusses like a sailor, their heart is corrupt. Come on. Don't shout it down because I'm preaching good. Think about it. Watch your words. They become your actions. Think about it. Watch your actions. They become your habits. There's a scientific study that says it takes 21 times to become a habit. Think about it. Your habits, they become your character. Are you as good as your word? If you tell somebody you're going to do something, do you do it? Because you know what? It only takes you telling them one lie for you to lose everything you've built up in them in a year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. I tell folks this. I tell my children this. If you lie to daddy once, it's going to be harder for me to believe what you say the next time. How many times can I give you a good one? I'm coming to church Sunday. But you know, they've kind of got you under behind the eight ball because they didn't say which Sunday it was going to be. You know what I'm saying? If they say next Sunday, that's a lie. If they don't show up. But if they say Sunday, you can't tell them, where was you at? I told you I was coming to church Sunday. I didn't say which Sunday. But I guarantee you, the church is, I always tell people, the church is always full on Mother's Day, Christmas, Easter, and homecoming. Because all of them would bottle around eating. Right. If we was to tell people we're going to prepare a meal every service, this place would be packed. And then they'd probably leave before service started. But what's your character? It becomes your destiny. The Bible says, as a man thinks, so is he. See, that's why I'm trying to get y'all to get rid of stinking thinking. Because the things that you think, did you know, how many of you, I ain't going to ask you how many of you do, I don't want you to raise your hand. But there's people in this house tonight that probably worry. But did you know that worrying is of the devil? God said he didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Some of your battlefields are here. And then if, you know, how many times have you ever heard somebody say this? I'm catching a cold. Well, reach out and touch it, baby, because you just caught it. You just caught it because you said you was catching it. I believe I'm getting the flu. Oh, you done got it, baby. You might say, prove it. I had a cousin one time. I used to sing in a Southern gospel group, and I've sung with some good ones. I don't like to talk about that a lot because it's not about me. God's opened doors for me to sing with some popular Southern gospel groups. But he told me one time, we used to pick on him. His name was Larry. We called him Mo. And we were all in the van, and we were talking one day. And they said, my uncle said, watch this. Larry, you sick? No, man, I'm okay. Larry, you look sick. But 10 minutes later, another member of the group looked at him and said, Larry, are you sure you're not sick? You sure look sick. No, man, I'm fine. By the time I got down to the fourth person, they were like, Larry, are you sick? You know, guys, I am not feeling good. They had talked this man into pneumonia. Because by the time we got off the road, he was at home bedridden. And I was sitting there and I was thinking, oh my gosh, I was a young kid at that time, probably about 16 or 17. But that was a lesson. I accept what I believe. Come on now. It's like, you know, how many times you ever hear people say, well, it's generational for me to have high blood pressure. Well, can I help you on something? If you're a child of God, your family's blood don't run through you no more. You're a child of God. That DNA done changed. Hallelujah. My family battles heart disease. I'm taking care of my heart because it's not the cast even's heart. It's his heart. Hallelujah. As a man thinks, so is he. Think about this. The things you say about others says a lot about you. Come on. If a person... Okay, you teachers, you know this is the truth. Those that will talk to you about somebody will talk about you to somebody else. Uh-huh. If you are a person that gossips, the Bible says in the book of Psalms, chapter number 1, the worst seat in the house of God is the scorner's seat.
And what's the scorner see? The person's always stirring it up. Every church has got one. If you don't, praise God. I got one in my church. And if you think this category, whatever, coming, the hurricane hit North Carolina or South Carolina, when she gets started, I have to rebuke her in Jesus' name. I have to say, whoa, pump the brakes, lady. Hallelujah. The tongue is like a sharp knife. Heals without drawing blood. Have you ever thought about a deep cut of a knife? Sometimes it won't bleed. But catch this. The words are the window to your soul. I don't have to be around somebody long enough, sister, to know what kind of person they are by the way they talk. I can be around somebody, and in 5 minutes, I already know if I want to be friends with them. I think about what I'm saying. But let's turn to James chapter number 3, verses number 3 through 12. I want to read some tonight because it all goes with a message. And as I said before, if we don't finish it tonight, we can finish it tomorrow night because there's a lot of word that God wants me to give to this house. James says, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by the fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder. Think about that. Wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. You ever been around somebody who likes to brag on themselves? You need to get away from them as quick as possible. Because the Bible tells us we are not, that's a prideful person. It's not about that person. It's about the God in them. Everything I do as a pastor and an evangelist, I do it not for my name's sake, but for His. That's not in the Bible, but that's how I feel about that thing. So how great a forest a little fire kindles. Can I get an amen on that? That's the word. And the tongue is a fire. A world of iniquity. Iniquity means sin. The tongue is so set among other our members that it defiles the whole body. Come on. And sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Come on. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. Oh, hallelujah. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude, which is similarity, of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and curses. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Now think about that. The first thing I want to share with you tonight is about the power of the tongue. Every word you speak is a seed. Come on. That that a man sows, he shall also reap. If you sow cursings with your tongue, you're going to reap cursings. Now I'm going to try to help parents up in here. You should let your child know that child can be the president of the United States if it wants to be. You might say, why? When you tell a child that they can't do nothing, they don't care if the teacher says it, the principal says it, but if mom and daddy says I'm a loser, I'm a loser. Come on now. Think about it. You always say, if a person is an addict, well, they're always going to be an addict. You know what? Let me help y'all. They are going to be an addict. When you're an addict and you're a recovering addict. You know what? You never fully recover, but you're recovering. And eventually, when you get to heaven, you won't be recovering no more. You'll be healed. You might say, why? I'm going to tell you something tonight, guys. The words that we speak. If we say in this church, Newland Christian Church, that we're never going to grow, well, you're never going to grow. Come on. I'm helping you. Because when you say, I don't believe my church can grow, you're limited. One person told me, Elder, she said, I don't want this church to grow no bigger than it is right now. I said, why? Because you might lose your seat. You might lose your stature. You know what? The thing was, she wanted it to be all about her. But everything we do I believe this church can grow? Yes. Do I believe this church has not seen the best yet? Yes. Why? Because that land back there is not just back there so the Y can use it. It's back there because this church should have a vision that we're not going to stop doing what God's called us to do till everybody in Avery County saved. Glory to God, till everybody in Mitchell County saved. And you know, I told our church, we do a street walk. And what we do is we walk the streets of downtown Statesville and we anoint the streets. You might say you're crazy. Once again, pray my condition gets worse. I don't say nothing. I just go anoint the street. And you might say, why? Because we want to make it. You should want to make it hard for people to go to hell in your city. Now think about this. Why do I put anointing oil in there? Have you ever poured water on oil? Think about it. It bubbles up. So when it rains in the streets of Statesville, they see the cross. Glory to God. And we're making it hard for people to go to hell in our cities. You might say, well, Pastor Jonathan, we have heard that this is the best it's going to get. No, it's not. The Bible tells us to work while it is day because there's coming a day where no man can work. Do I believe that this church can grow? I wouldn't be up here if I didn't. Do I believe that this church has a vision? I definitely wouldn't be covering this man if I didn't think that you had a vision. Do I believe that I should be getting reports that next year at this time you're going to have 132 people at homecoming? Yes. Do I believe 2 years from now you can have 232? As my faith, so shall it be unto me. Glory to God. As the faith of New England Christian Church, so shall it be unto you. Oh, come on, y'all can amen that. Because that's vision. Because the Bible said, without a vision, my people perish. Come on, somebody. But if I don't have a vision, I'm going to die. I told my wife, I said, you can't get rid of me that easy, baby. The vision God's given me for City Refuge Christian Center is a whole lot bigger than my lifetime. She said, how long are you going to be around? You won't be out today? I said, at least 100. You have a vision for your families, don't you? Dads? Amen. How many times have you ever made this statement? Moms, I want my child to live better than I did. Amen. And guess what? God wants you to live as good as He does. He's your Father. And He said, I don't withhold no good blessings from you. You need to understand, guys, the power that rests within you. We are heirs with God. We are joint heirs with Christ. When God put Adam down here on earth, He told him, said, Adam, you have dominion over everything. And we are the seed of Adam. Jesus is the second Adam. Glory to God. Study your scripture. Because God looked upon this earth. And you know what? Think about it. He looked upon the earth and He started thinking, man, I've made a mistake. And then, I'm going to tell y'all something. Don't you thank God that Jesus died for our sins? Because if He did, we'd all be vegetarians. Glory to God. Because there wouldn't be no cattle on the hill. We'd be slain. McDonald's would go out of business. Glory to God. You think about it. Because we would have to sacrifice animal. But He said, I'm going to be that sacrifice. The tongue is, every word you speak is seeds in your marriage. See, y'all might say, are you really big about marriage? I am so big about marriage, it's not even funny. Because the first covenant after man to God to man was man to woman. And the thing is simply that, whenever I look, think about this, your first ministry, husbands, should be your wife. I was talking to my wife a while ago. I got to eat brunch with her. Since I was already close to Mount Airy and the funeral started at 3 instead of 11. So I was sitting there and she said, honey, I'm going to get Samantha to help me color my hair. I said, oh no, you ain't. I said, you're going to call Brandy and get your hair done. She said, but I said, no buts. If she looks good, brother, I look good. No man wants to be married to an ugly woman and no woman wants to be married to an ugly man. Let's just be real and grill and tell it like it is. So I got to make sure my wife looks good. So I told her, I said, no, baby, I budgeted. That's another thing for another time about your finances. But the thing is simply this. I said, I have budgeted for you to get this done. You might say, Pastor, that's a waste of money. Not for her, it isn't. Because she knows her husband loves her so much, he wants her to look good. Because your first ministry is not singing. Your first ministry is not pastoring. Your first ministry is not being a leader in the church. Your first ministry is your wife. Your second ministry, our husband. Your second ministry is your children. The Bible tells you to train up a child the way they should go. Your child, I don't know where I'm going here, but I got to. Your child should not be taught by the Sunday school teacher the Ten Commandments. Your child should not be taught the first person to teach them. It should be at the house.
Amen.
It should be at the house, man. It's just like tonight before when I was coming up the road, I told the girls, I said, y'all be asleep by the time Daddy gets home tonight. I said, go ahead and get on the bed. I said, go ahead and open up. They just opened a book. But I said, Daddy's going to read the Bible to you going up the road. No, I didn't have to open the Bible because I got the Bible in me. Glory to God. This is just a book. This is your roadmap. But the Bible tells, the Word of God says that this should become our life. We are what we eat. If we eat negativity, we're a negative person. If we hang around positive people, we're a positive person. If we're children of God with the Word of God in us, the Bible said in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But so what does that mean? It means that when I got saved, He now lives within me. And He is the Word. Glory to God. If He's the Word, hallelujah, that's what I was telling my brother the other night. When somebody comes against you, remember, you got the Word of God in you. When the doctor says you've got 6 months to live, you say, hey, wait a second, buddy. I ain't coming out of here in this place no sooner than I have to. Glory to God, because you can't serve me my death notice. Only He can.
Amen.
And you never know. He might just keep you around to show what a miracle you are. Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. The doctor says you got 6 months to live. You got lung cancer. A year later, there's no lung cancer. The woman with the issue of blood, 4,884 days. When she had the issue of blood, she stopped believing the doctor's reports. Whose report is she going to believe? The thing is simply this. Because I'm going to tell you something. I told my doctor, he's a good Christian doctor. And I told him this, it might sound crazy. But I said, Dr. Stout, I said, don't ever tell me if I'm sick. He said, Pastor Jonathan, why? I don't want to hear it. Because if I accept it, submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee. You don't have, you know what? If the doctor gives you an opinion, you get a second opinion. What's the Word of God say about the situation? See, the thing is simply this. Your words, your lips brings life and death. Come on now. The Bible says life and death to the power of the tongue. And you know, it's very true. The tongue is hard to tame. You can't tame it. There is no way you can tame it. Because I hear people say this all the time. Well, I didn't mean to say that. You're a liar and the truth ain't in you. They'll say, oh, I didn't mean to cuss you. Yes, you did. You might say, you can't think before you speak. Yes, you can. Before you say, like for example, if you and your spouse gets into a disagreement, what's the consequences if you ain't very careful, men? Hope your condo's a dog, hope your doghouse becomes a condo, because you ain't going to be sleeping in the same bed with her tonight. My granny taught me a long time ago, I try to watch the words I say and keep them tender and sweet, for I never know from day to day which ones I'll have to eat. Think about it. With your saint with the same lips, you can bring blessings and curses. Your words are powerful, and that reap a harvest in your life. When are you going to start speaking the Word of God into every situation in your life? Especially when it comes to the will of God in your life. Think about it. What are the tongue's functions? I know it sounds crazy, but listen. Chewing, swallowing food. It's for speech. It's for your taste. Whether it's sweet, sour, bitter, or salty. But listen to this. Your words and actions, instead of wanting to go with the window to your soul. Catch this. Our words reveal what and whose we are. Think about it. I could walk right up to Elder tonight and cuss him out and y'all lose all faith in me. Come on. Why would you lose faith in me? Because I say I'm a pastor. I'm a man of God. You know what I'm saying? How many of you would like to walk so holy? Which the Bible says, does it not? Be ye holy, which I am, for I am holy. And he says, be you holy. And he says, that's your reasonable service.
That's right.
Come on. He says, that, what's reasonable? That's easy, man. If I died for you is what he said, the least you can do is live holy. Amen. Be holy because I'm holy. Not full of holes, but be holy.
Yes.
The Bible tells us that we're supposed to be without spot or wrinkle, spot or blemish. You might say, Pastor, I'm not perfect. I'm not saying you're perfect. But if you study the Word of God, we should strive to be.
Amen.
We should strive to be perfect in every aspect of our life. Well, that's hard. Maybe a lack of word is a lack of stability. Lack of word makes you vulnerable. You need to understand something tonight. The devil knows the Bible from front to back, up and down, in and out. See, think about that. But catch this. I know I've got to roll. But catch this. When Jesus was being tempted of the devil for 40 days and 40 nights, the Bible does not tell us, because nobody was in the wilderness, but Jesus and Satan. But you need to remember something. As long as Jesus was known as the carpenter's son, Satan didn't bother him. But whenever he was baptized, he came out. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. So what happened? Satan said, oh my goodness, that's not the carpenter's son. That's not Mary's boy. That's the Son of God. And the Bible says immediately, right after it was announced that he was the Son of God, the Bible says that Satan was being led in the, he was led in the spirit to be tempted by the devil. He was led by the Spirit to go into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Before you can get promotion with God, you got to pass a test. Oh, come on now. There's nobody here got your high school diploma without going through school. Some 13, some 16 years. Some decided, that's too tough for me. But think about it. You can't go from one grade to the next without knowing the material of the grade that you're in. See, the sad thing is, instead of the churches being under doing the X, Y, Z's of Christianity, we're still trying to figure out the A, B's, and C's. As Pastor said the other this week, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I did things as a child. But when I become a man or a woman, I put away the childish things. What does children do? They tattle. And they'll lie on somebody to make themselves look good. Y'all might say, my kids don't do that. My kids do. One of them gets in trouble. Alice, did you know that? No, Dad, that's Madison. Madison, did you know that? Alice. Poor old Gracie don't have a shot, because if Gracie does something, they don't both come to me. Daddy, Gracie did it. Gracie, did you do it? How did you know, Daddy? The tattletales told me. Well, see, think about that. How childish does that sound? But it happens in the church.
That's right.
Pastor, did you know I seen them at the beer joint last night? Did you pray for them? Did you really have to bring everything somebody does to make them look bad? Instead of telling everybody else what somebody's going through, why don't you get on your knees and tell God what they're going through? Glory to God, get on your knees and say, hey, God, I seen my brother tonight, and I seen him where he shouldn't have been. And God, it's really hurting my heart, hurting my spirit, but I can imagine how it's hurting you. I just ask you right now that you send the convicted power of God upon them. Because see, the thing is simply this. You might have seen them walking out of the beer joint, but maybe God just sent them in there to talk to somebody. You would go? I'm going to tell you something. Yes, I would. If somebody called me, because see, I don't have to worry about my character. You know why? Because God knows my character. See, they can see me coming out of the beer joint. Let them talk. But somebody's going to say, if they know you, Pastor was in there because God sent him. I wouldn't do that. That's the problem. The Bible tells us to go into the highways and hedges. And if you really break that down, that's where we should go. I'll mess y'all up on something. There's a place in Surrey County that our church hits. It's called Sin City. That is really what the name of it is. I was talking to somebody in our church that lived in that area. And I said, man, God spoke to me to go down to Sin City. Do you know what's down there? I said, yes, sin. And they looked at me and said, are you scared you're going to get shot? No, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And if I get shot, what a way to go. Pastor Jonathan went to death trying to save somebody's life. And the thing was, I kept hearing all that. Don't go, don't go, don't go. And then we went down. I seen them little kids. It's not their fault mom and daddy do drugs. It's not their fault that mom and daddy's alcoholics. And you know the sad thing? You know what was in Sin City? Hurting people. I went down there, and this is what somebody told me. That kid's got AIDS. You better not touch it. So, what did I do? I picked up that child. I loved on that child. I even held crack babies. You ever held a crack baby? No, Pastor. Let me tell you what they are. They're born addicted to something that they never partook of because mama partook of it when they were in the womb. I told the ladies in our church that's going to be just does our child care. We need to go to class to learn how to help alcoholic babies. Y'all know what I'm saying? They need special attention. Somebody told me, I wouldn't have those people in my church. I said, first off, it's not your church. And second off, I wouldn't come to your church either. Because the thing is simply this. The harvest, whether we want to admit it or not, is ugly. See, it's amazing how we forget where we came from.
That's right.
Preach, Pastor. It's amazing how we think that somebody don't deserve the same salvation that we were given.
That's right.
It's amazing how people love to make statements like this. I don't know why they came to church. Maybe it don't happen to Avery, but it sure happens in Iredell. I don't know why they come to church. The same reason you came. See, I'm going to tell you something. The altar can be anywhere. It don't have to be in the house of God.
That's right.
It can be beside a person with a needle in their arm. Pastor, have you seen it? Yes, I have. Have I seen it? Yes, I have. Does it break my heart? Yes, I have. Yes, it does. But the thing is, the same person that's putting that needle in their arm could be the greatest pastor that a church has ever seen. Glory to God. That young lady that aborted their baby. Well, that's murder. She can still receive salvation. She can still be loved. But what if the church spoke this, Elder? We don't want those kind of people. Not this church, but the church in general. We don't want those kind of people in our church. But the cool thing about Jesus is misfits fit in perfectly into the body of Christ. See, the thing is, if you're here tonight and you've battled addictions, you are the best preacher a person battling addiction can hear. The best preacher is experience. Me and my wife were talking. We have a Breaking the Chains addiction ministry at the church. And I told her and Elder Mike, I said, I can't teach it. They said, why? I said, because I've never experienced it. I can give you the spiritual backing on how to recover, but I can't tell you how to go through the withdrawals. But I can tell people about being beaten. I can tell people about being restored. Why? Because God took me from the guttermost and made me with the uttermost. Lord God, I'm not ashamed of where I've been, because that's my testimony about where I've been and where I'm going. Yeah, I used to be this, but I'm this. See, the problem we have in the church is we like to bring words to Jesus like, you can't use me because I'm an addict. But if you've asked Jesus to forgive you, he looks at you and says, what are you talking about, boy? What are you talking about, young lady? He said, everything that you did back in your past is in the sea of forgiveness. Never to be remembered against you no more. And the thing is, if it's in the sea of forgiveness, why are you still remembering it? Glory to God. Why are you still beating yourself up for something he forgave you for? Think about it. Hallelujah. We like to bring up our past as a crutch. We like to bring up our past as limiting ourselves with God. When Peter denied Jesus, I said a couple nights ago, Jesus gave him 3 opportunities to announce him again. See, the thing is simply this, guys. Just because People told you you can't do something. If I go up to this young lady right here and I say, you can't do nothing, she says, well, the Word of God said I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
That's right.
Come up to them and say, you know what? You're always going to be a bum. Well, the Word of God says that I'm more than a conqueror. You're never going to inherit anything. Well, the Bible says that I'm an heir with God. I'm a joint heir with Christ.
Amen.
See, you've got to understand when people bring you negativity, attack it with the Word. Well, Pastor, it's hard for me to read the Word of God. That's a cop-out. That's why you have pastors. That's why you have teachers. That's why it was funny. When I was in seminary and I was studying, my final paper was the difference between religion and relationship. When I'm in a relationship with somebody, they care for me. When I'm in a relationship with somebody, they love me. When I'm in religion, they just tell me what I can't do. There is things that you are not supposed to do. There is things, if you have, oh, here, okay, God, they might tell me not to come back tomorrow night, but here it is. If you question whether you should do it or not, if anything's in question, don't do it. If you have to try to justify what you're doing, leave it alone. If you second guess it, that's not your second guess, and that's the Holy Spirit saying, don't do that. Hallelujah. I mean, you know, I'll be straight up with you. I love my mother-in-law from a distance. I kid you not, I love her from a distance. But the thing is simply this. She knows I love her. She knows she could pick up the phone tonight once I get past Banner Hill and tell me and say, hey, I need you here at the house. You might say, why? That's a dead zone, man. Lord Jesus. I told I was going to tell Philip tonight, if I don't text you by 12 and let you know I'm at home, find me between here and Banner Hill. Because I have broken down.
And you can't call.
You can't call. I told y'all before, you know that your choice of church is anointed when I have to go through seven devils to get here. Hallelujah. You know you anointed. I don't know who in the world came up with that name, but it sure does work when I come this way. Glory to God. I had to go through seven devils to go to revival this
right.
week.
Go right by the devils.
Yeah, and then whenever I go back back down the mountain, I had to go through seven devils to get to City Refuge Christian Center. Think about it. That's crazy, man. That's funny. I laugh every time I go by there. I'm like, I wonder, could you imagine? No, I'm going to say it anyway. Could you imagine a church being called Seven Devils Baptist Church? The elders, there's six elders and one pastor. Seven devils, right? Think about what I'm saying. But catch this. Our words reveal who and whose we are, whether we're a positive person or a negative person. I like to make people laugh. I want to, when I leave somebody, the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. When I leave somebody, I want to dope them up. Why? Because I want to leave the person better after I leave than they were when I got there.
Amen.
I want somebody to say, you know, that Jonathan Castevens, man, I don't know if he ever goes through anything, but he sure is a positive person. Or I want to say this, you know, that Pastor Jonathan Castevens, he probably needs to rethink whether he's called the pastor or not. He's always negative. He's always got his head down. He's never brings a positive word. Y'all probably thought of somebody right then, didn't you? Hallelujah. But catch this. Your words reveal whether you are spirit-led or flesh-led. Whether we walk in the spirit or we fulfill the lust of the flesh. And here's something that's very sad. It expresses our personality more than anything else. At the church, before a person can be on staff at City of Refuge, they have to go through 21 weeks of leadership training. People say that's crazy. But I want to know that my staff has the right character. They have the right integrity. That they know that their words can hurt worse because they took a position. You might say, Pastor, think about it. If this man is a deacon, and this young man over here is just a church member, it's going to hurt worse if he says it than if he says it. Why? Because he's stuck on the title. I told somebody this one time. They said, man, I'd really like to have the knowledge that you've got. I said this, everybody wants the oil, but they don't want the sacrifice. Everybody wants the anointing, but it comes with a price. when people are out on Saturdays. If, I don't know if y'all's pastors here or whatever, but when everybody else is out doing their thing on Saturday, Pastor Jonathan's in his pastor's study at home, and he don't watch the ball game. He DVRs them so he can catch them on Sunday night after church. And the thing is simply this, when everybody else is out doing things with their kids on Saturdays, Daddy's in the prayer closet studying. See, your day's a day of enjoyment. A pastor's is a day of getting in the prayer closet and making sure that the word that he brings to the house is the word for right now. Come on, think about what I'm saying. These men and women that sung tonight, I guarantee you, they prayed about what to bring. See, oh, they sounded good, but you don't know the hours it took of practice. It comes with a cost. Anointing comes with a cost. Knowledge comes with a cost. Come on, I'm trying to help you here. The Bible says this, that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I was talking to the elder. When people come to me at our church and they tell me they're called to preach, glory to God, you ain't preaching Wednesday night. You're going to preach a year from today. Bob said, lay hands on no man suddenly. Think about it. I put them through what the Bible's all about. I make sure that they know. You don't want no preacher in this church putting Moses on the ark and Noah in the wilderness.
That's right.
But you'd be amazed at how many of them do. I don't know that there's a Bible of pintos. But some people talk about food more than they talk about the word. You ever been among pastors like that? Well, I was going through this yesterday. You know, all heck come against me this week. You know, I remember the day. I'm like, brother, I don't care what day you remember. I come to get the word.
Amen.
I've come to get the word of God. I haven't come to get your opinion. I ain't come to get your political point. I've come to hear the word of God. If your pastor's not preaching the word of God, find you a pastor that does preach it. Glory to God. And when they say, thus saith the Lord, you can trace it back that it said it in the word of God. Because I've told everybody, you need to take notes when I preach, and you need to make sure I'm giving you the word. Think about it. It expresses, think about this. If a person can master the tongue, the rest is easy. Okay? The rest is easy. And that's really hard. Why do you whip your kids? We still do it in my house. I know every judge in the 23rd district. And they tell me this. There's a difference between whipping your child and beating them.
Right.
You should never whip your child maimed.
That's right.
Your child should know why they're getting a whipping.
Yes, that's right.
Not just because you're angry. There's a difference between spanking a child and beating a child. See, the Bible says if you train up a child the way they should go when they're old and not apart from it, can I help you on something? If you give them in the house of God at an early age, you won't have to worry about them leaving the house of God at an older age.
That's right.
But I got to say this about the church. You need to give the young people something to come to church for. You've got to keep them. You've got to keep these young men that's back here tonight. You've got to keep the young ladies in here. Because doesn't the Bible say in the book of Joel, the old men shall dream dreams and the young men shall see visions. You know what that really truthfully means? Break it down. When you get older, you can dream about doing it. When you're younger, you can do something about it.
Yes.
I told y'all before, dream big, my soul, dream big, because God thinks His thoughts through you. Glory to God. You might say, can I really get these things from God? Yes. If you want more knowledge, He'll give it to you. But I got to help y'all, every one of you tonight. It comes with a cost. You shouldn't open the Bible just on Sunday morning. You shouldn't just open the Bible on Sunday night or Wednesday night. This is more important than your necessary food. The Word of God tells you that this is more important to you than your necessary food.
Amen.
You should dive into something. Glory to God, and just get in there. If you want to know something about knowledge, dive in Proverbs, Solomon, Psalm. When David wrote the 23rd, I know I kind of wound down, but when David wrote the 23rd Psalm, the reason he's writing the 23rd Psalm is because God gave him three choices. You can be killed by the sword, you can see your men killed, or you can get punished by me for 3 days. I'm just breaking it down layman's terms. David said, that's a no-brainer, man. 3 days, I can do that. When he was writing the book of Psalm 23, and he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," he wasn't even hearing from God. So you need to take the 23rd Psalm the right way. The Lord is Jonathan's shepherd. Jonathan shall not want. He maketh Jonathan to lie down in green pastures. When you see the word "my," put your name in it. When you see the word "I," say, "Jonathan can do all things through Christ which strengthens him." Come on, church, I'm helping you. Amen. Glory to God, think about this. The words you speak, think about it. Think about it. Your words dictate your life because you speak from your heart, and your heart is what shows your passions and your fears. Guys, I got to help you. God didn't give you the spirit. The spirit of fear. Fear is a control. Fear is a liar. Amen. Let's just see what the song says. Fear is false examination appearing real. Fear. How many times have you parents ever had to look under the bed because your baby thought there was a monster? I'm 6'4". But you put me in the floor of my kids, I become 2 again. And trust me, somebody has to help me up when I get in the floor. I mean, when I'm sitting there saying, "Gracie, can you help Daddy up, baby? I can't move." But see, the thing is, instead of trying to feed that fear, tell them, say, "Baby, there's a song that says, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." Sure. This little light of mine. My girl, Gracie, says this, and it's so cute. She said, she called me. I didn't get it because I was going between Banner Elk. But she called me, and she's because I went home this morning. And as soon as they woke up, my gosh, she thought it was Christmas. "Daddy's here!" But then she sent me a message today, and she said, "Daddy, I want you to know I love you. And preach the word, Daddy, preach the word." And that baby's only 9 years old. I can see her in her room, and she'll be singing and praising worship to her nos. And Allison Madison, they're just praising God. "Oh, hallelujah." Pastor, they're making fun. You don't know how their heart. Their hearts are pure right now, glory to God. Maybe when you lift your hands and you've lived like the devil this week, maybe you're the one that's doing it the wrong way. But I'd much rather my children be lifting their hands and praising God, walking in their room, and my daughter singing, than for them to be watching something on television that is not even of God, that's called a cartoon. You know what I'm saying? Think about it. And I'm going to tell you something. If your children ever say they talk to God, don't tell them they don't. You don't know. They have the purest of hearts.
That's right.
Man, think about it. Think about it. I know I even got through the first page. We'll finish this tomorrow night. But catch this. Catch this. I didn't mean for you to catch that. Catch this. Pretty good song, though. Think about this. The word says God did not give you the spirit of fear, but of power. What does power stand for? Praise overcomes when evil rises.
There you go.
Come on. When you... Okay, I know I got to stop. But how many of you know you can praise yourself out of a situation? See, people say that David got naked before the Lord. He didn't lose his clothes. He lost his self. My gosh, in heaven. He didn't lose his clothes. He lost his self. When he gets naked before the Lord, think about how stupid would that have looked and women could have looked on him to lust upon him. Preachers preach he got naked. No, he got naked of himself before the Lord. Glory to God. So whenever how many of you have ever just lost yourself in His presence? I know I've got to stop. But how many of you have ever just said, "God, I'm not leaving till you bless me"? Hallelujah. We give up on a prayer in 5 minutes. Amen. We give up on it. How many of you have ever said, "I'm going to read a chapter in the Bible," and then you start thinking of everything else you need to do? Remember, busy stands for being under Satan's yoke.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm going to read the Bible. Man, I got to wash those clothes. No man ever said that. God, I'm going to read the Bible. God, I got to go wash those clothes. Hallelujah. If your wife was to see you go toward the washer and dryer, she would think something done happened. Glory to God. Or, "God, I got to read." But you know, I do need to trim the hedges. You ain't trimmed them in 6 months. Why start now? I'm trying to help you. How many of you can be honest? That's how the Satan works, man. You have every intention to pray and read this week or tomorrow or tonight or whatever, and everything will pop in your mind that you need to do. You don't really need to do those things. Amen. That's the flesh. Remember, you battle spirit and flesh. Amen. You have that battle going on. But the Bible says, if I walk in the spirit, I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because anytime, but anytime that the enemy tries to tell you not to do something, that's a good indication that promotion's on the way.
Amen.
Come on. When the enemy was trying to tell Pastor Philip and Elder, don't do the revival. Nobody's going to show up. I don't know about y'all, but y'all ain't nobody's. It's good to have you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory
Amen.
To God. I mean, you were nobodies. You know why God uses nobodies? Because He knows He'll get the glory.
Amen.
When people drive by this church this week, and trust me, they have. Enemy's got his watchdogs. When they drive by the church, man, that parking lot, man, there's quite a few people out there. Y'all really want to impress them? Everybody drive a car tomorrow night. Don't come together. Everybody drive separate. Hallelujah. Think about how many cars we'd have here tomorrow night. You know, think about it. Man, that place is packed. No, you just see the cars. It's packed in the presence of God inside. Glory to God. You just see, they're looking on the outward. But God looks on the heart. So think about it. I'm going to say one more thing and I'm going to be done. Trust me, there's nobody in here tonight that's not going to get home before I do. It takes me an hour and 30 minutes to get home. I got to go back to school tomorrow. My babies are missing me in the EC department. But you know what? I'll be up here probably before everybody else is tomorrow night.
Amen.
You know why? Because I'm taking my clothes to school. You know what's going to be funny? I'm taking my Bible into my desk. You know what? You might say, Pastor, you're not supposed to do that. If they can bring in that crap that they bring into school, I can bring in something real.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Think about it. You might say, Pastor, are you really serious that if God says to continue the revival next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, you would drive up and down every night? You doggone right I would. But I'm going to tell you why. Because if God said it, you can't say no.
Amen.
If God, see, the thing is, guys, I'll almost stop. Try. But the thing is this. Y'all started a little fire in this church.
Yeah.
All it takes is one light, one match to start a fire. All it takes is one spark to consume something. So now you run with it. Don't let, whenever God says this thing is over, don't stop revival. Because some of you repented this week. I've done told Pastor, I want to baptize somebody before I leave. I did. I said, I want to baptize. I might fall in there myself, brother. You've been baptized more than once. Sometimes I just need to get a good old refresh. That little dab will do you that some of them do. I can't have any, just get saturated. And I can't swim, so I make sure I can touch the bottom when I fall. Hallelujah. I can't swim. This big man, he don't float either. But the thing is simply this. What's your words? We're going to finish this tomorrow night. I encourage you to come back. But you know, the thing is this, guys. The weather was unpredictable. It was supposed to have hit further up north. Now it's hitting south. This lady, when my wife said, I can't find a case of bottled water anywhere. I bet you can find it in Mount Airy now because it ain't hitting Mount Airy. See, the thing is simply this. You don't know that some man or woman didn't walk out to the beach with the power of God inside them and said, God, protect my home. Protect my home, God. Protect. Protect. Lord, you know this is all I got. See, I'm going to tell you, the Bible says this, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. What does that mean? Hot, extremely hot prayer.
Yeah.
Not these little baby prayers. Because the Bible, when I was a child, the Bible says this. And I got to tell you this, Pastor Philip and Elder Joe. It's time to feed with meat.
Amen.
It's time to bring the meat of the Word to the house. Because if you were still in the same place with God as you was last year, you backslid. You should be getting closer to God every day. You should be getting closer. You should be like Peter. Remember whenever the disciples, y'all get ready for her to sing, but whenever the disciples were trying to cast the demon out, and they said, Jesus I know, Peter I know, but who are you? Don't you want Satan to know your name, not your spirit? There's a difference. Knows your name. See, the thing is simply this. Satan knows, and I'm just going to try to help y'all. Satan knows that he can't touch what I've given to God. How many of you have given everything you've got to God? I mean everything, man. When my children were born, we dedicated them back to God. When we got our house, we anointed the four corners of the property. When I got my truck, you might not like it, but I love it. When I got my truck, you know what I did first thing? As soon as I got the key right in front of the people I bought it from, okay, God, I'm giving it back to you. And you know what? He's took very good care of that baby. Because you know, how many of you have ever been down to nothing and God just showed up? Uh-huh. I know we're going to wind it tonight. But I am challenging you. If you're here tonight, you're battling depression. I've got 21 scriptures that I've typed on my computer to help people overcome depression. Anything that you're battling, you can find word to destroy it. My children's never going to be saved. Well, how many remember Paul and Silas? He looked at that jailer and said, your whole household is going to be saved. If you've got children that are lost tonight, it's a season. It's a season. And I feel this for this house, and they're going to see. Weeping's endured for the last night at Newman Christian Church, but joy's coming in the morning. I'm challenging you. 132 by next homecoming. 82% of the people in America go to church. 84, excuse me. That means 16% of the people. That statistic, 16% of the people in every county does not. You don't have to steal from a church to add to a church. That's the biggest problem in the churches today. We're trying to add to the church by dividing it. We got to reach out to the harvest. And I'll do anything I can for this church to help you. Because there's a lot of people that need you. Go ahead.